We remember God's promises in the past. As we look forward to the new year before us, we take time today to celebrate the many blessings that our God has made to us, many of which He has already graciously brought to fulfillment. Some of those promises were made long ago. From the earliest days of the world, for example, God promised that He would send a Savior to reconcile sinners to Himself. Over the years, He steadily revealed more and more about the promised Savior. Yet, when He finally arrived, many missed Him completely. And still others continue to miss Him today. One of the chief reasons why so many people reject the truth about the real Jesus is that He is hidden in such lowliness. They want a splendid-looking Jesus, noble and heroic in appearance, who will bring outward peace and prosperity, who will always make us happy. But the real Jesus comes from a no-account backwater town in a country despised and defeated. We shouldn't be surprised, for that's exactly what God had foretold ages before through His prophet Micah. A lesson from Micah, chapter 5, beginning at verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. This is the word of our Lord. God planned our eternal salvation. God's promises from the past aren't only about our Savior Jesus. He also had a plan for your eternity before the creation of the world. The incredible news that God wants you personally to be His child forever, and that He sent Jesus for the express purpose of purchasing you back from sin, is something none of us could discover or uncover on our own. For that reason, God has revealed His will to us in His Word, so that by the hearing of His message of His gospel, we might have faith. And so that having faith, we might live forever with Him. Paul prays that the Ephesians might know God better. There is only one way for us to better see and know the unseen God. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, must tell us. The way to know God better is to see exactly what He has done for us and what He will yet do for us. The wisdom that comes from the revelation of the gospel enlightens the eyes of believing hearts and lets us see and know the certainty of the hope to which we have been called. A lesson from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at the third verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the One He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. This is the word of our Lord. God planned our earthly life. Our Creator God promised to send us a Savior, and He has. He has promised to bring us to our inheritance in heaven, and He will. God also promises that your day-to-day life is a part of His divine plan. He planned your earthly life here to the last detail before you were even born. In fact, before you were even conceived. God knows us better than we will ever be able to know ourselves because we are His own creation. Let us join with David in praising the God who has given us our very life and breath. A lesson from Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is the word of our Lord. We reflect upon God's promises in the present, and God provides us day by day. In the second section of our service, we focus on the promises God has for us right now in the present. Today, many of us worry and fret over the transitory things of this life. But God has a promise for us. I know what you need. Material blessings are not evil. God knows that we need them, and He promises to provide them. But in view of that promise, a frantic pursuit of earthly blessings or a constant worry about our bodily lives is needless. Those kind of attitudes would suggest that we may be trusting someone or something other than God. We may be slaves to another master. Acknowledging God as a source of our security, we work hard, pray hard, and then accept what comes from our Father's hand. Worrying is worthless. It is ineffective and unnecessary. In His sermon today that we'll read, Jesus says, "Don't worry." Now, it isn't a harsh command. It's the gentle reminder of a parent to a child concerned about things over which he needn't be. Jesus tells us to look at His Father's love and then draw the logical and inevitable conclusion. I do not need to worry. Please stand for a reading of the Gospel. The Gospel lesson comes to us recorded by St. Matthew in chapter 6, beginning at the 25th verse. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the gospel of our Lord. God preserves us in suffering. Times may come, and perhaps they have over this past year, when we feel as though we're not being provided for by an all-powerful God. What brings more doubt into our lives than grief or sorrow? Why did this happen to me? How could God let my loved one die? When will this sickness stop? Grief and sorrow raise doubts about God's love and his plan for our lives. In our reading, St. Peter points us to the resurrection as proof of the living hope that we have regardless of our outward circumstances. We may have doubts when we face trials, but the trials themselves are there to test and prove our faith. Faith clings to a Savior whom we have not seen, but love. And this unseen Savior gives us the inexpressible joy of proof and peace, even in the face of suffering. A lesson from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 1, beginning at the third verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of our Lord. God prevails to make all work out for our own good. You know, the Apostle Paul in our sixth lesson reminds us of one more promise of God that he has for our present lives. You know, no matter how the appearances may seem, God remains in ultimate control, spinning all the events of history toward one final goal: the eternal good of all His saints. And you are His saints. As beautiful as this reminder is, it takes a miracle of faith for us to believe it. And that's what the gospel, the good news, is all about. It's detailing of the otherwise unbelievable love of God in the sacrifice of His own Son for the likes of us sinners. Having given His Son and having miraculously given us faith to believe it, how could we ever again doubt His love? Let the past haunt me, and the present scare me, and the future terrify me. None of it matters. The love of God in Christ leaves me at peace and secure. A lesson from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning at the 28th verse. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What, then, shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of our Lord. People change, but God does not. Who you are now at the end of 2017 is different than who you were 10 years ago and different than who you will be 10 years from now. But the Lord our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You know, that's especially comforting when we look at the promises God has about the future, because we know they will not change. God has sent His Son to restore your relationship to Him, and He will continue to love you throughout every season of your life. A lesson from the prophet Isaiah, the chapter 46, beginning at the third verse. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. This is the word of our Lord. In our eighth lesson, we hear God will bring forth fruits of faith. For it's the God who had plans to create you, who had plans to save you, who had plans to preserve you. This God who has plans to work all things for your good and to ensure that nothing can separate you from His love, this God has plans for what He will do through you as well. As Paul writes to the church in Philippi, he reminds both them and us that the God who has called us to be His own has a purpose for us. Fruits of the righteousness which He has clothed us in and which He will bring to completion on the day of our Lord. A lesson from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, beginning at the third verse. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of our Lord. In our ninth lesson, we hear the great promise that God will bring us to heaven. As Jesus bid farewell to his disciples on the night he was betrayed before he would die for their sins, he tried to set their hearts at rest and told them to trust God and him regarding his departure. His comforting promise that was that he would return as surely as he was leaving. And that promise still holds true today. While we wait for Christ to return, Jesus has promised his Holy Spirit will dwell within us. The Spirit who comes forth from the Father and the Son has come to us. He is the breath of God whose holy work makes us holy by teaching us his word and thus bringing Christ to us and us to Christ. In revealing Jesus to us in word and sacrament, he, the Holy Spirit, brings us the forgiveness and eternal life that Christ has won for us. One of our early church fathers, Bernard de Clairvaux, once said, "The word is the kiss of God on the lips of the soul." Therefore, with the confidence and peace that kiss of God's word brings us, we fearlessly face what is ahead in the coming year and the remainder of our lives. For we face it with God's gift of the Spirit and with the Spirit's gift of Christ's continuing presence. A lesson from St. John's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. Please rise to hear these words in our Lord's name. Christ says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the gospel of our Lord.